So welcome to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Sensormatic, and welcoming our latest supporting partner, Orange. My guest this week is Neil Miners, Head of Audit and Compliance at McMullen's Brewing and Pubs, affectionately known as Max, the company that is, not Neil, clearly. Having looked at Neil's background, other than a brief 3 years, and we'll touch on why he might want to keep those 3 years quiet, Neil has spent his entire working life in the hospitality industry, as he says, born and bred. And born in East London, but not a Cockney, if I read the notes correctly. So, Neil, welcome.
Welcome, Paul. Thank you very much. I'm willing to line you with the 3 years. Whether it's any link to auditing risk, but I worked what was then known as Customs and Excise, which is now Revenue and Customs. That was the first job I had when I left school. I think it was a lure of the uniform, whether working at the docks or whether working at airports, that steered me towards it, having been brought up in a pub, working in a pub, and then suddenly deciding, hang on, I need a change. I want to get away from the pub life. I went to work for Customs and Excise, but 3 years after that, I joined Bass, as it was affectionately known then, and the subsidiaries I had within Bass in London and the South East, I joined Chamington's. And spent many a year there doing various jobs, as it had name changes, the roles changed. And before I knew it, I'd done 37 years there.
And did I just pick up on, so you grew up in a pub as well. So this really is your life, if you like.
Yeah, my father worked in the London docks. And he decided he wanted to come out of the docks. The trade was diminishing, so he took a tenancy in the East End of London. It was in Stratford, but not the gentrified E20 version or Westfield version as it is now. It was the E15 version. So it was a tough house. But again, you talk to the people, you liaise with the people, you get on a level with the people. It wasn't an issue.
No. I spent 3 years living in Elephant and Castle, working in the centre of London. I used to go through Stratford, and sort of at the time it was redeveloped. So I also used to fondly remember there was a very good restaurant in Elephant and Castle, and Time Out. And it was a similar thing in Stratford. They used to say, only a short run from the tube station.
Yeah. Yeah, to avoid everybody. Yeah, and for those that's somewhat cliche. Yeah. If you live in certain areas which are deemed maybe a bit rough, it's an issue. But you live there, it was never a problem. Never a problem.
So fast forward to today, Max, as it's known.
Yep.
Tell me and the listeners about the business. I mean, we know it's pubs, but expand a bit more. Footprint, size.
Okay, so we've just posted our end of year figures as of September last year. Turnover, obviously, like everybody else in the industry, pre-tax wise, was down 48%. Our turnover, that was down also. It was down about 33%. But we're lucky within McMullen's, or Max, as you wish to call it, we predominantly own most of our property. So in regards to rental outlays, it's minimal. It really is. So we're very, very good, and we're lucky, and we have a good senior team that push us through.
And so in terms of the size of the estate, I mean, is it all pubs?
No, brewing currently we have 79 managed businesses, which we run with a manager. We have 36 tenancies, and we have three sites which are known as pub operators. And that works, but we put a manager in, an entrepreneurial manager. They run the food side, but we run the drink side of it. Okay. So they take the profit from the food, and then we'll invest and work with them to make the business better. And this current year / next year is another 5 or 6 businesses in the pipeline. We're expanding. We've got one in London, one in Essex, one in Milton Keynes, two in Cambridge. And we're always actively looking for a good business.
Yeah. And so from a day-to-day perspective, so you wear the audit and compliance hat from a job title perspective, but what on earth takes up your day-to-day? And you know, let's assume we're back to some sort of normal. You know, where does your time go? How do you audit and comply that business?
Auditing takes longer than it used to. When I stepped into this role, lucky enough, I was headhunted for it, because after I left Mitchells and Butlers, I was adamant I would not go into auditing of any sorts. Really adamant. And I ducked and dived, doing certain things here, doing things there. Worked for myself for a little while. Gave a little bit of advice to people when they come and ask me. And then I was contacted and they said, oh, we're interested in you. Come and have a chat. And when I went for the interview, it was probably one of the best interviews I'd ever had with one of our ex-directors, Stephen Gill. It was very open, very loose. But it's like going to buy a house when I went there. It's you instantly know and you're comfortable with the house you want. And that's what it felt like going to Max. But leading away from the job, my predecessor was basically a stock taker. Okay. Anyone who knows the stock taking business, he would go in, count the stock, count the cash, move on, end of story. There was no action plans, no any thoughts of driving any more profit, being any more safe, being any more secure. So I changed the role when I went there, which was part of the reason they wanted me to go, because again, it is an old family established business. And the new McMullen's family were coming in, the younger ones, and they could see they needed to change. And I was on a journey with them.
And so the processes you put in, I've got to ask, you know, what were, and we all understand, you know, the stock taking part of it. But when you started looking in more depth, what were the losses that you uncovered? What were the risks that had maybe, you know, not been identified? I mean, yeah.
One of the examples was where we've got 79 managed houses, and a good few of those take more money or sales in food. We had an Excel spreadsheet which controlled the food and how much profit we was making and how much loss we was making. The trouble is we had 79 versions of an Excel spreadsheet. So what we ended up doing was invested in a system, Procure Wizard, which is a great food system. It also does drink stock system. And now we've started building recipes for it, and we're starting to now embed in how you need to develop your business, how you need to control your business and look at the risk and look at where you can make profit within the food side of it. So that was one of the biggest wins.
Yeah, and did you find... And where this might be, yeah, accidental opposed to on purpose, but you know, I'm guessing if everybody did things slightly differently, you know, the losses and be it, yeah, fraudulence, maybe not the right word, were the inadvertent losses, were some people taking advantage, you know.
Yes. One of the first things I ever heard out of most people's mouth is, we've always done it this way. So it was to sit down with them and explain it. Well, actually, why don't you think about doing it like this? Yes, there were a few fallers on the way when I first joined. Historically, again, it's going back to this family type firm. It's they sometimes like to make the comfortable decision rather than the correct decision. Mm-hmm. So in which case, if they had an issue at a site, they'd just move it on to another site. They wouldn't deal with it. And I came in maybe a little bit harder with my Mitchells and Butlers hat on as it was then. We was trained and a little bit harder. And you started challenging people. And people didn't like the idea of being challenged. And then you started tasking them and setting KPIs for them, or key performance indicators. I assume everyone understands that. And we started weeding people out bit by bit. And that's where we are now. You always think you've got a settled team, a settled amount of managers, but it's like most things, Paul, as you know, you'll introduce something, people will start to get used to it and then try to get round it one way.
That is inevitable. I also find whenever those big process changes have come in, sometimes those that you think are your weakest link really sort themselves out, get to grip with the new system, and they were really just lost because they were lost.
Yeah.
And then some that you think are your superstars, overnight they leave, and actually there's a whole raft of skeletons in the closet.
Oh, yeah, you're quite right, man. And the ones who leave quickly or before I start to visit, you've know, you've been hiding something with it. Yeah. I mean, the way we measured, or the way they used to measure things when I first joined, was via a yield percentage. And as long as you made that yield percentage, everyone high-fived. But when I then started asking them to look at it line by line, the ones you're making off are hiding the losses in regards to the other ones. And they're the ones you need to focus on. So, yeah, it was a cultural change. But it's been a journey. It's still a journey.
And I'm guessing that's one of the biggest projects and changes that you did bring in. But, I mean, you know, what other projects are you working on right now? What's the next thing that you're looking at? What's the next challenge on Neil's desk to improve the profitability?
Audit is changing. Again, as I said, when I first came here, it was just about stock and cash. I've introduced health and safety, fire safety, labour. We started to look at, when I visit, I make an holistic view of that business. And that, more often than not, ties in with the profit and loss that the area manager sees. And then it starts to make sense and gels in. Current thing we're working on, surprisingly, is trying to get staff, which is, as you know, within the industry, really, really hard. But we've also took on board, due to the three lockdowns, and again, it's slightly away from auditing and risk, is mental health. There's a lot of issues which have raised their head with people out there, and they're not in good places, finding it hard to run their businesses, which it's totally away from risk, but it is a risk in a way.
Yeah, and it's you know, it probably should be a risk. I mean, I think there's changes in working practices that are going to come about. You know, some companies saying work from home permanently, others saying back in the office. I think we're going to see those shifts, and hopefully the mental health awareness is something that's going to come in, and certainly, you know, in the hospitality industry, I mean, that has really, along with travel, probably taken the biggest brunt of, you know, shutdowns and restrictions and uncertainty. So, you know, if you're both employed or an owner operator, I mean, that's just got to weigh on your mind constantly. And
it's, again, there's a selected few of us at the moment who have been on the what's known as the first aider course, where you start to, I'm not saying you analyse everybody you see, not in the least, but you start to look at it different, and you just raise those few questions about people, and you suddenly get the outpour of, yes, I've had issues during lockdown. I assumed I was okay. I've come back now. I'm not sure I can cope with the guests, the amount of people, or how we have to operate currently. It's going to be a big impact.
Yeah, and interesting, you mentioned there about the guests coming back, and going off at a slight tangent, but we're just going to take a brief word from our sponsors. But when I come back, I want to perhaps pick your brains on how staff are reacting to customers, and more about how customers are reacting to the staff. Are they being polite? Is there any extra challenges that you've got there? But let's take a brief word from our sponsors, and then we'll come
back. Will do.
Now, more than ever, Retailers and shopping centres need to create efficient and safe shopping destinations that can thrive in the most challenging of market conditions. Sensormatic Solutions uniquely combines insights into loss and liability, shopper insights and inventory visibility to help you power operational excellence and deliver frictionless, secure, personalised shopper experiences while driving revenue. Visit us at sensormatic.com to learn more.
So, okay. Welcome back. My guest this week is Neil Miners, Head of Audit and Compliance at McMullen's Brewing and Pubs, Max, as I like to call them to save me tripping over the full name. Now, we were just talking there about mental health, and it made me think, certainly a lot of retailers, as well as the challenges around mental health, one of the main issues that staff have been facing is increased hostility from customers, whether we've forgotten how to interact with each other or whether just the restrictions are starting to take too much of a toll. I mean, you know, alcohol, hospitality industry, possibly at the forefront of that. Have you got any insight, thoughts or observations that you can share on that?
I don't know where we've been lucky. There's been no major incidents. I think we've just been lucky, Paul, out of it, to be quite straightforward with it. Yes, you always get your idiots. You're not going to change that. And currently, maybe with the football, it's a little bit more. But trying to reduce that risk in our businesses with the football is hard at the moment. It really is. And as you know, some of the laws, some of the rules, I'm not going to go on my soapbox with it. Everyone's got an opinion. Yes, you might go and watch the Euros and you can stand with 60,000 people, but I can't come in a pub, probably.
Yeah, I think most people sort of, you know, are on that. I went to Portugal recently. My boys are 8 and 9. My wife, we went there in the time it was on a green list. No drama at all. Returned back to the UK 2 days later. I'm taking my boys for their swimming lessons and I'm squished together with, you know, 80 other people in a swimming pool that are, you know, a well-known chain, and you kind of think, well, you know, it's sometimes difficult to fathom, isn't
it? We're just hoping, fingers crossed, that the 19th is going to be good for everybody.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? Within the UK, we're about on top of that date, so let's see what that brings.
I think the right decision was made to extend it, get more people vaccinated. Let's move on.
Now, we're moving back open. Your remit is increasing, but the one thing I was intrigued about when you said about, you know, you were able to bring in a new process. That would suggest that you've got the ear of the board and the senior management. What's the culture like within the business? And that, you know, if you go forward with an idea, is there a process? Yeah, is there another brilliant idea on your desk that you're currently pitching?
Anyone who works in risk or any auditor or accountant, no, you've got to have a process. Yes.
Oh, we love a process. Actually, I hate a process, but
personally, I do, but it goes with the job. Yes, Paul, it's like everything else. It's logically, will it make us money? Is it a return of investment on it? With the food stock taking system we had to put in, yes, it was a lot of money, but we are starting to get a return of investment on it. It's like everything you have to, I mean, since lockdown, we never had an order and pay app. So we've now introduced that. It's like the best thing since sliced bread, as they say. It really has paid dividends. We had a few teething problems first off, as you do, because it was such a rush to get it out. But getting over that now, it's paid dividends for us. And I can see in the future, it still will. As much as people in certain brands we have love to see the server, and we will reintroduce that with the iPad, taking your orders, the personal touch. Maybe for the people outside in the garden and the younger people, as I like to call them, yeah, it's the way forward for them. It's been good. We're still working on it and constantly changing it, tweaking it, putting bits on it, because you begin to learn. You can also use it. It's great for advertising.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe we get to the point where, you know, you're asking customers the question. You know, my wife and I go out for dinner. We want, you know, the theatre of somebody coming to the table. But if the, yep. if the children are in tow, well, that's a different dynamic. And if we can put the order in quicker through a piece of technology, then, you know, I'm all for that. That yeah. sign me up, you know.
Yeah. That's been one of our best bits since lockdown stroke reopening, is introducing the order and pay app.
So you put the new software and it's getting a return on investment.
Yep.
So the board come to you and go, Neil, that was fantastic. You've got 5 gold stars. We think you're wonderful. What is the next piece of technology, process, or solution that you think we should have in the business? What if budget was no barrier and they went, go for it? What would it be?
Might sound old school, Paul, but people. If we could get people, and it's been a struggle, obviously, with Brexit, etc., losing people. And again, they are your key to everything, getting good people. You get them, then you're set up. It doesn't have to be technology all the time. Just it really doesn't. A human being.
Funny enough, I was talking to somebody in logistics earlier, and they were, I think they said there's something like 60,000 HGV driver vacancies in the
UK. In a week. Yeah,
30,000 backlog of tests. But actually, they said Brexit wasn't the thing that caused the issue. People still stuck around, and we rely heavily on our European neighbours for staff. But it was actually when COVID hit and people then returned home,
and actually couldn't get back.
Yeah, she felt the challenge was to get people back in. Brexit itself might be giving you know a bad name, but you know, the people were around. So I don't know whether that's
you're quite right. Yes, a lot of them, as you say, returned home to be with family. Initial lockdown one, worried what's going to happen, and then couldn't get back. Yeah, it's just hope the government's looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, some kind of I mean, there's the opportunities are huge. I mean, so many sectors are just struggling, and I see, you know, restaurants only opening in the evenings, not at lunchtime, so they don't sort of wear the staff out, or offering reduced menus. Again, going back to my local, well-known brand gym, where the restaurant there, cafeteria, whatever, closes at 6:30 in the evening because they just can't get anybody to work. They just can't get any staff.
And the same. We've moved out some of our trading hours, and maybe some of them sensibly.
Yeah.
It's a change. And I'm sure we will look at it again, obviously, and review it.
So looking forward, we need to get the people back in. But are you optimistic for the future of hospitality? Do you see a bright future for your business and the industry as a whole?
I do. I always say I'm always positive about things. There's enough negativity in the world. Yeah, I see we will start to return to pre-pandemic figures. It's going to be a little bit slow, I think. Again, let's see what comes out the 19th of July time. I was speaking to someone today, and they were saying, but it's maybe been an opportunity for some businesses who maybe wanted to get out, have got out. And those who want to obviously stay in are still here for the long haul, hopefully. But it has created opportunities as well. I mean, we've been unfortunate to have some rent defaulters within our business. But looking at those businesses we've taken back, it's an opportunity for us. I think people will return to work again slowly because it's it's the people thing. They want to see people with it, doing Zoom calls, doing Teams calls. Yeah, I want to see a real person. Yeah. So for me, and specifically London where I live, it's slowly opening up. It's just getting that courage to get back on the tube train, get on the train. At the moment, obviously, the schools are going to start to close soon for the summer term. So, yeah, it'll be a little bit quiet again. But I think once everyone starts to come out of the school holidays, we will start to pick up. We didn't have Christmas in 2020. I think people want Christmas 2021. Yeah, we will return. I'm going to take a positive view. I will take a positive view.
Yeah, and on that, so you say you're still looking for new sites as well. So is the business is now, does it see it as an opportunity to expand at this point, or is it maximising?
Yeah, a couple of our London businesses where we would have refurbished, had a plan to refurb them, we would have closed them. So you would have lost money while you're not trading. So we took the opportunity and the bold decision to refurb them during closure. The likes of the old Bank of England in Fleet Street, big investment, the Nag's Head in Covent Garden. And we've had another site in London in Fitzrovia, which has took nearly 2 years to develop.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a case. Yeah, it didn't look good when we took it back. And it wasn't good when we opened it up either. It was, yeah, a lot of work had to be undertaken. We've got a couple of new builds as well, one out in Milton Keynes, big developments. So, yeah, there's opportunity.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm always pleased to hear that, because every now and again you sort of get, you get the naysayers and people talk about things never returning to normal. And, of course, progress means that things don't return to normal, but... Yeah, I like to think when we say to normal, we just mean, you know, back to life.
A new normal, yes. Whatever it might be.
Things happening. Look, Neil, thank you so much for being my guest on this week's edition.
Thank you.
Pleasure to speak to you. And who knows, as we head back to normality, I look forward to perhaps just randomly bumping into you in one of the McMullen's properties at some point soon.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Paul. Good to speak to you.
Thanks, Dale.
Goodbye.